Now, to show our gratitude, we're not going to be like the other guys and jerk you around and bullshit you. We're going to tell you the truth.
Shane Douglas is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
On the Hudson River line, I'm in a New York state of mind.
North South Connection Podcast Network listeners, welcome back to the Extreme Three-Way Dance, the most extreme menage a trois violence you'll ever experience. I am JT, and joining me as always are my co-hosts, Jenny and Matt. How you guys doing?
Hello.
Your turn, Maddie.
Hello. I'm doing great. How is everybody?
We're good.
I'm good. Feeling extreme.
Mm-hmm. Always extreme. Mm-hmm. Here,
ready,
when we do this
ready
show.
To dance. I'm ready to dance.
Atop the ECW arena, hopefully not. But Matt is new to the show. If you didn't hear our last episode, he is stepping in full time, replacing the not fully gone, but just gone in the world of the show, John D'Amato. But it's good to have you here. We had a great first episode with you with us, and our first after our big layoff too. So just good to be back overall. And here we are at our first big event for you, Maddie. We did 5 weeks of TV last episode, but tonight we head to the ECW Arena. I'm sorry, no, we don't head to the ECW Arena. Outside the ECW Arena and up to Queens for the Massacre on Queens Boulevard. So, cool name and should be hopefully a cool show. And out of the gate, we're starting big tonight because we have our Italian lesson of the week. Tonight's word, bukyak.
Oh, Lord.
Good Lord. That sounds filthy.
Oh, it's filthy.
It's, use it in a sentence.
That girl, Nikki, is a little bukyak.
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 Urban Dictionary has as an example. Hillary's a bukyak. A bukyak. Just ask Bill. So it's think of the worst thing you could call a girl, I guess, right?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
C word, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what it means. So that's our word tonight, bukyak.
Bukyak.
Bukyak. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Can you put it together, Jenny, with a sentence with the last episode's word?
Oh, that was, oh my God, what was that? I wrote it down.
Come on.
Stugatz.
Stugatz. I
that
hate bukyak. That fucking couple, that bukyak and that Stugatz.
that bukyak wants to get on that Stugatz.
Did you just call me?
I don't know. I was speaking Italian. I don't know what I'm saying.
All right, well, let's go on then.
Just like JT Smith.
Opening match is JT Smith and Damian Stone for the moment taking on the Dudley Boys. JT gets a hot start as the Italian Stallion and Damian Stone comes to the ring. JT wrapped in the Italian flag as he's fully embraced his gimmick.
Wow.
Smith puts the flag on Gertner and then butchers some Italian as he's rambling through a promo. He said he researched his family tree and he found out he has a cousin in ECW. And that cousin is Little Guido. Stone stops pacing and confused, tries to figure things out. Smith says "You're from Sicily," and Guido kisses his cheeks and embraces him. The crowd fires up a "You suck dick" chant, and then Joel Gertner does the intro. So we have a conversion here of Damian Stone into little Guido, who is cousins with JT Smith.
Right, right.
Not buying it?
He looks like little Guido, I'll say that. The GTL for life, but yeah, why not? Let's do this.
I'm into it. I think it's going to be good. Anything to do with this gimmick and angle, I love. Out come the Dudleys. They push poor DW out on a stretcher. He's nursing that injury from the Headhunters. Out with him as well are Chubby Dudley, Sign Guy Dudley, Bubba, and Big Dick. Dick is still on the crutches. Joey says Smith thinks innuendo is an Italian suppository. Guido's all full of piss and vinegar, and he wants Big Dick, but JT pulls him back. We get a real long entrance. Dick drops the crutch, and it seems like he's back in action, teaming with Bubba tonight. The crowd is hot for Bubba's shtick. He obliges, but then gets cut off by a new Dudley brother, who says, "Your name is fucking Bubba Ray Dudley," and introduces himself as fucking Devon Dudley. And he says, "There are three rules that fucking morons need to know. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not fuck with the Dudleys." He then smashes those cuisines with the mic and seems very angry, does Devon Dudley. But you guys think of Devon? Well, actually, we'll save it for the end because we got more of Devon here. Devon beats the shit out of both of them on his own, just a straight angry assault. JT hits a low blow on Bubba as Devon murders Guido with a chair. Bubba hits a sidewalk slam on JT and pounds his back. Bubba hits an avalanche as Devon's just lighting up Guido with a chair. Bubba slams JT but misses a big splash off the top. JT hits a splash, but Devon comes in, hits him with the chair, and then another disgusting chair shot. The crowd is just insane as Devon is murdering guys, unloading all across both of them, grabs a crutch and chases off the Paisans. JT comes back and takes some brutal crutch shots. Just gross. Devon beats the shit out of him as the ref as well, as things have just gone way off the rails. The crowd chants fuck him up as Devon just wrecks the ref with a chair to the head. Just like, what the fuck with this guy? The Dudleys get DQ'd off of that. That is it. Bubba stutters again, and Devon says, "We're going to stop right now." He gives his credo again, but his voice is shot. He gets real scratchy. He's gassed. Devon batters the ref some more with the chair. Just a complete asshole. Poor Pee Wee Moore. Bubba then bops him with a pan and covers him and counts his own fall. Bubba wants to dance, but he's waiting Dick's permission. He gets the okay. He breaks out to move, and then they leave after that. JT and Guido get back in the ring, and they brag about kicking the Dudley's asses. But in comes Devon and Bubba too, and the beating is back on. These poor fucking Stunads just take a wicked beating. I don't know how to classify this. This is a debut for Devon. Just insanity. Unpleasant and violent. And one of the most brutal beatings like I've ever seen in wrestling. Maybe the Dudleys are starting to turn for the more serious. We'll see. But just a wild start with this debut here. So I want a star and a half, Jenny. But honestly, I found a lot of this uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, yeah? It was Italian stuff, right?
It was pretty gross.
yeah. The poor ref. Holy fuck. Mm-hmm. JT got his bell rung so many times. I don't know anything about Devon Dudley, but this is quite different from the rest of the Dudleys. So wondering, is he really related? You know, kind of like, is really Guido related to JT Smith?
Well, remember Big Daddy Dudley got around all different moms. So.
Right. Maybe this is what the Dudleys need, you know? Quit fucking around with stupid dances and stuttering and just have some plain ass whoopings. So it was brutal, but, you know, I'm going to give it 2 stars anyway. Matt?
I also went 2 stars on it. Hell of a debut for Devon here. Devon saying your name is fucking Bubba Ray popped me huge.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And then Joey coming back after Devon said his name was fucking Devon. Joey came back and said, "I'll assume the F word isn't part of his name." That was also a great line. Those chair shots were brutal. The one where he broke the chair over JT's head was absolutely disgusting. It's amazing that it took like 20 chair shots to declare the match a no contest, but it is ECW, I guess. just a great debut for Devon. And like you said, it seems like the Dudleys are going to be at least a bit more serious now than they have been before. But 2 stars for me.
Yeah, it was honestly sounds crazy to say, like, you know, the Foley stuff and be on the mat and all that, like, this was not that far off for me. It got uncomfortable. Like, I mean, you could do a couple maybe to like get the point across, but like this just got like super unhealthy after a while. I mean,
it's, well, look, it's gonna be a long show for you if
No, I know, but it just felt like gratuitous to me a little bit, like that many shots of the head with a chair viciously laid in. Just felt maybe just a little over the top. All right, let's get to our next match. Is Billy Black, who we saw debut on our last episode, taking on Hack Myers, and poor Billy looks very out of place here. The Shah marches out. The crowd is staying really hot. Joey says Hack is wrestling with a separated shoulder, and Black jumps on at the bell. Black chokes Hack with the chain in his vest. Black is a pretty much a typical old school territory guy with this look and the approach he's got going on. He dumps Shah outside and then goes up top. It's a big axe to the floor. Back inside, Black keeps Myers grounded, working with strikes and chokes. Eats an elbow on a charge and gets dumped outside, where Hack meets him with an elbow. Black gets dumped into the fans. Myers follows out and slings him into the chairs and back into the ring. Hack gets two on a suplex, but Black comes back with a back suplex. A little Dr. Seuss for you. And then hits a brutally botched top rope bulldog. The crowd is all over him. Black gets a two on an elbow. He goes to a fucking body scissors. Black releases and throws Myers to the corner, but misses a top rope moonsault. Hack is up and slugs away. Hits a hard elbow to the back of the neck. The Shah hits his apron guillotine leg drop and finishes with his top rope driver. Really not much here. Black does not bring much to the table. He was sloppy, especially with that big whiff when the crowd shit all over him. The Shah is a Shah. They kept the crowd engaged, but really not much going on here. Just card churning. Filler for me, Matty. 3/4 of a star.
Yeah, this was pretty rough. I gave this a half star. I'm not sure why I gave it a half star. I probably should have given it a dud, because I thought this was real rough. I think my rationale for going half star and not dud was because it was short. I think it was like 5 minutes long. But
and
yeah,
the crowd was pretty hot too.
And the crowd was hot for it too. But yeah, Black hit that hideous look. I don't know what the hell he was going for off the top rope. Maybe a bulldog, perhaps a clothesline. I don't know what the fuck he was going for, but it was all kinds of bad. Yeah, this was rough stuff. Half a star.
Well, apparently I liked it more than you guys.
Oh,
maybe
God.
it was the rhyming. Hack and Black.
Hack and Black attack.
I just like Hack, and the crowd is always, you know, good to him. And he was just doing his thing. He does what he does, and you know, we always need like a jobber, like Black. So, I mean, he did good for what he does. And I gave it a star and a half. Fuck it.
Oh, dear.
Alrighty. All right, next up, we have the Eliminators take on El Porto Ocaño and Joel Hartgood. The Limbs come in and start wrecking both guys immediately with strikes and suplexes. Hartgood gets mashed and knocked outside. El Porto Ocaño, it's a hard kick. Cronus power slams Porto Ocaño, and then both Eliminators hit stereo moonsaults. Cronus puts LPR on his shoulders, and Saturn smashes him with a chair off the top with a wild doomsday device. And then they do the same thing to Hartgood. LPR gets leveled with total elimination. Hartgood does as well. And that is that. Just complete squash shitty, Jenny. But a lot of fun and pure mayhem. This was a star and a half I was happy to give for this fucking murder.
It was murder. Well, the Eliminators are amazing. Like, I can't put them over enough. Like, they're on fire. And we all know that it doesn't matter what they do to Hartgood or LPR, bless their little hearts. We just want to see the gangsters come out, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I really love that the Eliminators are like I said before, like, they're so adaptable to whatever kind of opponents they have. And they could fly a little bit, and they have power moves. They kind of do everything. They're really well-rounded, and everything they do looks absolutely brutal. Bless these poor guys' hearts. I went 2 stars on it, Matt.
You know, it was great that they brought Dynamite Punk to Queens to get his shit pushed in by the Eliminators. Yeah, great squash. Awesome moonsaults from both Eliminators. The Doomsday device with a chair was fantastic. And yeah, the total elimination killed LPR dead. 2 stars for me for this awesome squash as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like we said last episode, the Eliminators have really brought a fresh feel to the tag division for sure. And this has been on fire. And they continue here because they call out the gangsters who oblige. They emerge from the crowd, and we are on Weapons and brutality flowing immediately. The feud is just at a fever pitch. The locker room empties out. Joey says this match is not scheduled. The New York State Athletic Commission is tough, and there's undercover cops in the ring. And the crowd wants them to fight, but New Jack punches a cop. He gets handcuffed. Mustafa gets cuffed as well and taken out. So, Maddie, I thought this was a chaotic scene. It was really well done. The feel of the anarchy in this feud is awesome. Like, it feels like at any moment, any four of these guys could either end up in the hospital or in jail. And it would not be a shock. Like, that's the path we're going down with this.
It's just, it's so great. Like, some of my favorite stuff that we've watched during this run that I've been on so far has been the Gangsters Eliminators stuff. And this really added to it. Just a great brawl. New Jack punching a cop and then getting in handcuffs. I mean, just... I can't say enough about it. It's fantastic stuff. And God, I am so looking forward to the Gangsters Eliminators match. Should be good stuff.
God, and it plays off so well, like, of him just getting out of jail, right? So you're almost like, no! Yes! Bias, like, don't hit the fucking cop!
What are you doing?
Go back to jail. But you're right, like, I mean, this feels must-see. Mm-hmm. You know, 25 years later or whatever, like, still, you know what I mean? Like, you still get sucked right back in. Like, you're ready to see these two teams go at it. Like, the build has been that good, Jenny.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I like how Saturn calls them the Gangsters.
Yes.
I don't know. It always pops me when he says that.
It's the block in them, you know?
Yeah.
They have the answer, as they are.
I was a little disappointed at first that the locker room came out to separate everybody. But, you know, glad for the cop, you know, getting his getting the handcuffs on New Jack, because that's what's going to take, because that motherfucker's crazy. And he would go, I mean, that trash can was full of God knows what. So, this was awesome. Can't wait to see more.
All right, we got a big match coming up next. It is our ECW Heavyweight Championship match as Raven defends against Damian, who was, of course, coming from Mexico and eventually would make his way to WCW, right, Matt? He's one of the Lucha stars that goes there eventually.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, he did a lot of, like weekend syndicated stuff, Saturday night stuff. He might have wrestled on a pay-per-view here and there, but he was basically, like, a weekly TV guy.
Right. His full name was actually Damian 666 in FMW, where he spent a lot of time. So in Japan as well as Mexico, too, eventually there. And yeah, he's in WCW for a bit, 96 to 99. So he ends up in the fall when the Cruiserweight division really ramps up. But just a brief stop in here. Not doesn't say too long. But it's another name for them to bring in. We saw this a lot when Douglas was champion, too, just bringing these random guys to help put over this as a world title. So Raven, Kimona, Blue Meanie, and Stevie Richards all come out early in the night for our world title match. Raven looks fucking jacked. And Joe even calls out just what great shape he's in right now. Probably the best shape of his career, honestly. Meanie's groupie comes in the ring as well, and she kisses Meanie and then puts some whipped cream on his gut and eats it off.
Woo!
Joey says that's a Saturday and a Sunday.
What
that
a line.
That was fantastic, yes.
Raven pulls her off, and Kimona stops him and slaps her again. And then Stevie stops kicking Kimona. Just, I don't know what is going on. This angle is taking a real dark turn. We get a full Spanish intro for Joel Gertner for the visiting Damian. Stevie grabs the mic and says, what happened is what happens when Raven gets upset. And you're going to deal with Dance and Stevie as well. So they taught her a lesson. Richard says Damian's a big star in Japan and Mexico. But in New York, he's going to wrestle Raven. He ain't no samurai freako boy or Mexican jumping bean in AAA. Stevie says Damian can't even understand what he's saying. And if asked if he speaks English, Damian just looks at him and says, fuck you, which is great. Stevie's out of his fucking mind. Raven starts with a shoulder block, but Damian comes back with a modified victory roll for two. He's flying around, countering everything, gets two on a DDT. Damian drop kicks Raven to the floor, meets him with a big plancha, hops up and climbs through the top rope, dives into Meanie. Raven jumps up, but Damian shoots him into the fans and follows in to fetch him. Back at ringside, Damian shoots Raven to the other side of the crowd. Damian drags him back again, gets a two count, works with him with a chair, including scraping him with an Arabian facebuster for two. Damian gets two on a cross body off the middle rope, hits a drop kick off the middle rope for another near fall, but he gets caught crotched when he goes up top again. And then Raven shoves him out to the floor off the top, dumps Damian into the first row, drags him back over. Back in the ring, Raven hits a pair of low blows and then slugs away with a hard right hand until Damian goes low. Damian hits a spin wheel kick and then calls for a chair from the fans, but it backfires as Raven spikes him into the open seat. Damian comes back and Raven eats the chair, takes some shots to the back. Damian slams Raven in the chair for two, hits a top rope moonsault for two, and then Damian goes to the middle rope and hits a headbutt for another near fall. Damian goes back to the middle rope, but Raven catches him coming off, power bombs him, and then DDTs him for the big, clean win. That was a really good brawl. Damian took a lot of the match, kind of got Raven off balance from the start, kept him on the defensive, but Raven, as usually does, hangs around, finds a spot to stick the challenger with the DDT for the win. So I thought the pre-match stuff was pretty intense, and the match itself was solid defense. Raven continues the tradition of the fighting ECW champion, battling guys from around the world. I thought this kind of plateaued. It looked like maybe it hit that gear that it never came. So Jenny went 2 3/4. It was a fun match, but never really, really got rolling.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about uncomfortable shit, this is where you want to talk about it. What the fuck got into Stevie? Like, Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, I know he's Raven's man, but I don't think he's gone that far before. But I mean, he takes his cues from Raven, and Raven's just been beating on Kimona. Right. So I guess he thinks that's acceptable, but yeah, that was really rough. As far as Damian, he was fun, right? Like he has, he reminded me a bit of like a Great Value Sabu, and, maybe it was the Arabian Facebuster that made me think that, but he was fun to watch. You know, I enjoyed, watching him with Raven, and Raven is just smart. Like he just works smart, and he hangs in there, like you said, and never really got too much off balance, even though I thought Damian got a lot of pretty decent offense in. But you know, once he hits that DDT, it's over. I agree. 2 3/4 stars for me, Matt.
Yeah. 2.5 for me, a bit sloppy at points, but it was good. Solid enough title defense for Raven, and you're right, JT, it never really hit that next gear that I thought it could have, but, solid enough, like, challenger of the week type of title defense. Mm-hmm. Like, Damian had, like, zero chance of winning this match, but I thought it was a good title defense for Raven and puts another notch in his belt against a guy, you know, a worldwide wrestler like Damian. So, sloppy at points, but fun stuff, 2.5.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I do like this trope, and I think we'll see more of it, Matt, as we go, of the ECW champion on these just random shows taking on these guys they import in. I think it does a really good job of legitimizing that title, especially when Douglas was doing it early on. Yeah. But even now, so like with a guy like Raven, who has been more story heavy than wrestling heavy, right? So to see him take on a challenger like Damian, who's world traveled, comes in and Raven beats him clean without any bullshit, like, that's good. That really helps a lot. You know, it's a guy like Damian's not going to get hurt by it, so it doesn't matter. He can come in, get a payday, and take a job. And but it makes Raven just look that much more of a threat, that this guy can come in here and he could beat him. But it also makes guys like Dreamer and these others a threat because Raven struggles more with them, right? So like, it makes all of them look better because Raven can more easily beat the guy from outside the company than he can inside. So it's a shrewd booking for a way to really get over your champion and all your other challengers as well.
Mm-hmm. What do we think about Damian's look? Some black work pants and shoes and then some sort of pirate shirt with a hockey mask on it. I don't know.
It's definitely like he just went in like to Goodwill and grabbed an outfit.
The red gloves really set it off, I feel like. Yep.
Went to like a Spirit Halloween store, got some face paint, some red gloves.
Like, let's go to ECW, bitches.
But yeah, just continue. I mean, I think Raven's been really good as champion, both storyline and ring, so this helps. All right, next up, Shane Douglas comes out to take on the Blue Meanie. Joey says Douglas is on a mission to regain his titles. He stalks out confidently. Shane grabs the mic and says, after a shit match with Shawn Michaels, a certain person deserves some entertainment. He says, WrestleMania, Michaels sucked the big one, and he isn't talking through him to a computer. He says to bring his fat face to ECW, and he'll smack it back to Stanford. When Shawn goes on America Online, it says he would never work in ECW in front of 1,000 fans. And Shane said it's because they see through his shitty gimmick. He came to New York to face the toughest in the sport today, and he can find them here. He says Rob Van Dam broke his wrist. He can't get his ass wrist and can't get his ass whipped tonight. So he issues an open challenge just like he did to Dick Flair. that piece of shit, Hulk Hogan, the cocksucker Razor Ramon, the heartburn punk Shawn Michaels, and if they want to fight or shoot, come on down. This was vintage Shane, really, for better or worse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got the worst of him with the, you know, calling out all the Dick Flair and that stuff. But it's also the best of him because he's a good talker and he brings the realism into play as well, which the crowd just loves. So what'd you guys think of this promo before we get to the match?
Well, I was disappointed, obviously. I had some triggering flashbacks. But like you said, this is what Shane does, and I have been enjoying him quite a bit. So I'm just going to indulge him on this little setback and see what he does with this match.
Shane doesn't like very many people, does he? I'm starting to pick up on that. You know, saying the people see through HBK's shit gimmick. So he went the gamut of nicknames. Dick Flair. All right, that's mm-hmm. fine. Piece of shit Hulk Hogan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cocksucker Razor Ramon. we're escalating, and then he comes back with heartburn punk Shawn Michaels. Yeah, ended with a bit of a dud there, pal. Maybe start with heartburn punk and end with cocksucker. Just putting it out.
Just go with the cock. Suck punk. That would have made it worse.
Yeah. Like,
or
kinda...
just call him a bukyak.
There you go. But yeah, maybe rearrange your insults next time, Shane. But I mean, it was definitely a good energetic promo. I'll say that. So
I don't think he thinks through them really. He just says shit.
Yeah, those were the two words that came out of his mouth.
Yeah,
that,
like, I don't think
right. it feels like he sits in the hotel room and just has like a little notebook full of all these names for the 30 of you guys that he hates.
Yeah. He definitely has that, yes.
Dick Flair!
What can I call Kevin Nash this week?
All right, Raven's music hits, and out comes Blue Meanie dancing to the ring. We get a "you fat fuck" chant right away, and then Meanie does the Shawn Michaels pose to troll Douglas. Douglas says that this is the best they could do. He calls a fat boy and says he wants Raven. Axel comes out and smacks Meanie with a barbed wire bat. Axel says this is ECW and the greatest, and he wants a match with Shane, not some fat, out-of-shape wrestler pretending to be. He wants to prove himself tonight and slap Shane to get his attention. So it is not Shane Douglas with Blue Meanie. It is Shane Douglas versus Axel Rotten. Axel slugs Shane down and we're on. He hammers away and is relentless in and out of the ring, stomping and hammering and choking. Axel shoots him to the steel. He's making a statement here, as Joey says, could be one of the greatest upsets ever in ECW. Back in the ring, Shane comes in firing as he wakes up, but Axel whips him to the corner, goes to the eyes for two. Axel goes to a chin lock, gets some booze, but Shane busted up with a jawbreaker. Shane fires up with punches, but his back is too battered to do much else, so Axel cuts him off and grabs an abdominal stretch. Axel keeps cutting off comeback attempts, gets two on a clothesline, slams Shane but misses a top rope big splash. Shane comes firing back, eventually gets a low blow and a leg whip as Axel bails to the floor. Shane leaps over the top, comes in with an axe handle, and then follows with some chair shots. They end up back in the ring where Shane hits a quick belly-to-belly to pick up the win. Shane gets the mic and leads the crowd in an Axel chant, says he went to WWF for 6 months waiting for competition like this, and he respects Axel for it. This is a good moment to put a veteran over in Raw and give him some cred. And it also puts over ECW as a place that Douglas respects, that even this guy puts on a high-quality match with him. So it was solid. Axel showed up well. He kind of paid on his vow to prove himself as he dominated on the bulk of the match. Shane gave a lot, and he wins with a blink of an eye to stand by his tough talk. So I thought this was a pretty good little battle. Jenny went 2.5 stars.
What a little surprise. Y'all know I love me some Axel Rotten. Quite the step up from Blue Meanie. And, you know, at first I was like, I don't know what we're going to do here. But I thought there was a really pretty good mixture of, like, Shane style, like what he likes to say that he is a, you know, a professional wrestler. And, you know, some hardcore shit, like with the bat and taking it on the outside. But I thought Axel showed up, like he gave him a good little match, and I really enjoyed Shane showing him respect at the end of the match. I kind of a sucker for that, and I pop for it, and that's more of the Shane that is appealing to me. So I really enjoyed this quite a bit. I like the good spots and the hardcore stuff kind of sprinkled in there. 2.75 stars for me, Matt.
So I went 2.25 on it, and it was a good match. It was, you know, solid but unspectacular. Big spot for Axel Rotten, I thought. The thing about this match for me, and maybe this is a me problem, is, you know, when you see a guy like Axel Rotten come out to the ring with a barbed wire baseball bat, and then he starts doing chin locks and abdominal stretches, like, it's just... Maybe it's a me problem. Like, it's just not what I expected out of a match like this, you know? And I guess maybe that's me thinking this would be more of like an Axel Rotten match more than a Shane Douglas type of match.
Right.
So,
I think it was Axel trying to prove he could handle Shane.
Yeah. Right. He's trying to, like, wrestle Shane's style, you know?
Right. And I went 2.25 on it, so I still thought it was decent enough, but that kind of took me. I was just kind of taken aback, like Axel Rotten doing a fucking chin lock. What are we doing? But it was a solid enough match. I like the respect angle like you guys did. I thought that was good. But 2.25 for me.
Take on the Bukyak kid instead. But all right, next up, a very interesting match as Chris Jericho takes on Taz. Taz is led up by Fonzie, his training partner, and students from his dojo. They're all in orange and black tracksuits. Just an amazing entrance and presence. Mm-hmm. I thought this looked so, so good. Just really building up this whole Team Taz idea. It just looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Rematch from Big Ass Extreme Bash. As Joey says, this is an extreme hardcore shoot fight. We have an ECW official outside, and Gordon and Fonzie will be cuffed together at ringside. Fonzie is aghast.
That should go well.
Oh, he's just aghast. He stares blankly when he hears about it. He's just amazed. Like, what?
I'm sorry, right. What?
So we have judo, karate, and jujitsu champion and black belt Sensei Tom Delvano is the official in the ring. So really a big feel here. Mm-hmm. Jim Molyneux is the referee, mocks Fonzie, says the contract signed, says the match can't start until he is handcuffed. So the cuffing happens. They take seats at ringside. And we get going with some kicks and basic arm holds and takedowns. Taz gets things going with a side salto suplex, but Jericho beats the count. Fonzie's great. He's smiling big, but when he tries to go to ringside, Todd just yanks him back to his chair. Taz cranks a nasty bow and arrow, but Jericho gets a rope break. Taz dodges a kick, gets a T-bone and a German, but Jericho rotates through and lands on his feet. Jericho charges and counters a head and arm with an armbar takedown. Fonzie and Gordon still battle as Jericho counters a German with one of his own. Trainer Miko takes out Molyneux and uncuffs Fonzie, threatening Gordon. Jericho kicks Sensei by accident, and he's blinded. And Fonzie comes in with a chair and blasts Jericho, and Taz hooks to Taz's mission for the win. We get a loud Sabu chant through this. Todd Gordon comes in and chases off Fonzie, tries to pull Taz off. The Sensei sees the chair, puts things together, and then he just grabs it and bashes Todd with the chair and hooks him to the Taz mission. As both guys crank holds on before releasing, bowing and shaking hands, Fonzie pays Sensei with some cash as Taz mocks Sabu. I love this across the board, just every single piece of this. The heat, the build, the atmosphere, the chaos, the wrestling was a lot of fun. Taz has been amazing in this gimmick, and Fonzie adds so much to the package. And now Team Taz, the fucking Sensei, like, all this stuff is so brilliant and amazing. It's just really high concept stuff. Jericho was really good too. He hangs in and takes a shit kicking and also dished one out, so he looked good. So I love this all. I went 3.25, Jenny. I thought this was just a ton of fun.
So, I mean, I did like it, but I feel like it's starting to be a little bit, like, too much, maybe. I don't know. Like, Fonzie's enough. Fonzie's a lot to deal with. And so now we're adding a sensei and a bunch of dudes. And I'm like, okay, it looks cool, but, like, fuck off during the match, you know? But, like, I don't know.
I'm a fan of chaos like this. Like, I love, you know, to me, it makes it feel like such a bigger match when you have all this shit around ringside. You know, all these kids. And it's got like a Cobra Kai feel to it, too. Like,
yeah, I knew.
Obviously not in the moment because it wasn't a thing. But now, like, the sensei in the ring with, like, the prize student and then all the other students watching. It's, I don't know. It just felt, like, really cool. Like, it just felt, I don't know, just hit with me.
Maybe if it was somebody other than Jericho in this match, because, like, I kind of want to just see them fucking wrestle. And, you know, because they're amazing. And then, like, I feel like the other bullshit kind of takes away from what we're doing in the ring. But I do pop for Todd Gordon, especially getting handcuffed to Fonzie is pretty fun. I will say I did like that. So, I mean, I think I'm still just unsure about this. And I think Jericho just deserves a little bit more shine on him as opposed to all the other shit that's going on around. I don't know. We'll see. I'm at 2.75 on it, Matt.
Yeah, I am at 3 stars on this one. Like JT, love the presentation of Taz coming out with all the team Taz guys with him. Makes him feel like a massive deal. The wrestling in this match was great for as short as it was. It was like 3 or 4 minutes long. The side suplexes from Taz were great. Jericho got his own suplexes in. Those looked great. At one point, he drops Taz on his head with a German suplex. Mm-hmm. That looked nasty. Fonzie and Todd Gordon handcuffed together was absolutely fantastic. Todd Gordon, apparently a very strong man, as he's repeatedly able to throw Fonzie back into the fucking chair. That was so good. The referee was paid off. I thought that was great. And like you said, just complete chaos, but it was good chaos. Taz is the best. I really, really enjoyed this. 3 stars for me.
Yeah, I just, again, I love the chaos of it. And it almost makes Taz feel like he's not even really in the promotion. Like, he's just like this mega star that comes in with this, his own world, and just comes in and destroys guys. It just builds an unbelievable feeling in the arena when that happens. So yeah, it was great. I loved it. All right. Big 6-man action up next is the Pitbulls and Tommy Dreamer take on Primetime Brian Lee and the Harris brothers, the Bruise brothers, whatever the fuck you want to call them today. The Triangle of Terror heads out, as Joey calls them. And we'll see if Lee's a good addition. He could be here, especially with limits, I guess, maybe the Harris's being in the ring. Tommy and the Pitbulls charge out. They brawl in the aisle. Right, it was 6 guys, all 6 throwing it down. We cut back and forth as it's chaotic into the crowd. Chairs are flying, fists flying. The crowd eating it up. They're rabid as the violence flows. They make it to the back wall with just chair shot after chair shot. They get back to the bleachers. There's still punches and chairs. Lee comes off the bleachers into Tommy. They keep whipping each other to the wall. Francine watches from the ring as they make their way around the back of the arena into the concourse, to the lobby, and eventually out into Queens Boulevard. Well done there to pay off the name of the show. Of course, Massacre on Queens Boulevard. They brawl on the street. I didn't see Vinny Chase out there, by the way, but there they are. They brawl into the street using a nearby van and trash can. They eventually find their way back to the ring where Pitbull 1 beats down one of the Bruise brothers while everyone else brawls on the floor. Chain and chairs get into the mix, just brutal beatings, walking around by all 6. Pitbull 2, one of the Bruise brothers, go up top, but it gets reversed on the way down and collapses onto Pitbull 2 for 2 on the way out. On the way down, Lee puts a burlap sack on Tommy's head, trying to suffocate him. Pitbull 1 dodges a Bruise brother boot, goes low and rolls up for 2. Tommy mashes Lee with a chair, follows it to DDT. Lee to super bomb, but only gets 2 as Raven makes the save and DDTs Tommy. The Bruise brothers clean house on the Pitbulls with chairs as Beulah and Francine look concerned. The Bruise brothers keep clearing out chairs. They're holding Tommy's skull, and the Bruise brothers both hit boots to the chairs to rattle him and pick up the win on Tommy Dreamer. Beulah and Francine are near tears at ringside as Raven's henchmen help him batter Dreamer more, including posting him to his balls. They drag him, basically slam his dust into the post. Beulah comes in and begs Raven to stop, but he won't listen. Francine tries to help Beulah, but one of the Bruise brothers kicks her down. The Pitbulls come in to make the save, and Dreamer DDTs Raven. The Bruise brothers, Lee, and the Pitbulls battle to the back as Dreamer hits another DDT and sets up a table. The Pitbulls return, and Pitbull 2 superbombs Tommy through Raven and the table in a self-sacrifice to hurt his opponent in a big bump there. A wild brawl, a classic ECW style that had much more formula and focus than the older Public Enemy kind of style, was a lot of walk brawling. I thought this had a little more energy to it. A lot of threading through this as well. The crowd loved it too. It went on a little long, but they moved around enough to keep it upbeat. The finish was good. The post-match was wild as Raven gets the upper hand on Tommy yet again. But again, we get the woman abuse. But this time Tommy gets the last laugh. As he sacrifices his body. The post-match gives it a bump as well, keeps the story red hot, and gives Tommy a small win. So I went 3 stars on this, Matt, just for the whole package.
Yep, I'm with you there. I went 3 stars on this, too. The fight that went out to Queens Boulevard was great. At one point, I think it was one of the Harris brothers sent Pitbull 2's head right into a sex pest van. I thought that was rather interesting. Yeah, this was really chaotic and pretty tough to keep up with. The super bomb to Brian Lee was really impressive. The DDTs were great. Francine, my goodness, Hachimachi. But yeah, this was really fun. Surprised that the Bruise Brothers pinned Tommy Dreamer. I don't know how I necessarily feel about that, but it is what it is. And then the super bomb after the match where Dreamer did the sacrifice. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. Just wild stuff, nonstop action. Really didn't slow down at all. 3 stars.
Was it a Bruise Brother or was it Brian Lee? Or was it the Undertaker that got the pin on Tommy?
Oh, who can even keep track of that?
I think it was one of the Bruise Brothers that got the pin.
Was it? I don't know.
Maybe not. Yeah, it was chaos.
Prime Time Undertaker, yeah. No, like, I'm with y'all on the 3 stars. We're doing lots of crowd brawling, but that's fine because we go out to the street, which I will always pop for. And it's kind of a long route, right? So it's like... they just kind of stop fighting and they just kind of like walk which is fine. I mean, that's fine. They make up for it by slamming into all the vehicles there. You know, I just love that. And just more vicious chair shots and they really just destroy each other. Francine, you know, trying to come to Beulah's aid. What is Beulah thinking? Like, what are you doing? You're pregnant. Please stop doing this. Remove yourself from the situation. Poor Francine gets a boot to the face. But the goddamn super bomb, I lost my shit at that because Tommy played it so perfectly, like making fun of Raven, you know, like getting in the like cross posture and the way that they lifted him up on there. It was like beautiful poetry. And I was like, I was grasping my head. I was like, no, he's not going to do it. And then when he crashes through the table on Raven, it was awesome. It was amazing. I feel like that should be on a reel somewhere. It probably is. I like a highlight reel, but that was awesome. Tommy Dreamer is hardcore. 3 stars.
Yeah, it was really cool. And this feud continues to evolve. I mean, Tommy and Raven have been feuding now for 15 months, started in January 95 when Raven debuted.
But it's the Hatfields and the McCoys of ECW.
But they continue to find ways to make it fresh. Like, it doesn't feel played out. Like, every time maybe they're moving toward that way, you get a new twist added in. So
Tommy will never win a fucking match, ever. I've already decided.
We'll see. All right. Next up is another big one, is Mikey Whipwreck takes on Sabu.
Woo!
With some history here that Joey goes through, as he knows these two are the only men ever to be ECW Triple Crown winners. So Mikey in some rarefied air, and rarefied hair as well. Sabu marches out. The roster is really loaded right now. It's like Sabu's just hanging out, not doing much. Like,
yeah.
That's how sick this roster is at this moment, just loaded. Sabu bitches security guard and refocuses as Mikey takes him down by the leg, grabs hold of it. Sabu fights through and drops Mikey across the top rope. It's a guillotine leg drop off the top for two. Sabu cranks a front face lock. Mikey blocks a hip toss. It's a rocker dropper. Drop kicks Sabu to the floor. He returns and punches Mikey down and DDTs him. Sabu tosses a chair in the ring and jabs Mikey with it and then opens it up and tries an air Sabu, but comes up empty. Mikey leaps off the chair but whiffs and slams into the buckle. Sabu eats a boot on a charge. Mikey hits a swinging DDT. Sabu comes back with a gorgeous springboard moonsault for two. He sets up a table bridge outside and puts Mikey on it and then goes up top and flies off with a double axe handle as Mikey got off the table. Sabu dumps Mikey into the crowd and then flies off the table with a high cross body. Back of the ring, Sabu eats a boot but blocks another swinging DDT with an inverted atomic drop. Sabu puts Mikey on the top turnbuckle, but Mikey shoves him off to the bridge and then flies off the top with a high cross body. Sabu ends up in the crowd, and Mikey snaps his arm across the railing and then flies off the apron with a corkscrew dive into the fans. Completely fucking lit. Back inside, Mikey gets two on a leg drop, cranks him back down with an armbar, but Sabu punches free. Sabu gets two on a springboard somersault leg drop, smashes Mikey with a clothesline, hits a springboard lariat, followed by a slingshot moonsault for two. Back to the floor we go. Sabu runs Mikey to the railing, sets up a table in the front row. Sabu puts Mikey on the table with his legs draped on the railing, heads inside, hits a double springboard somersault senton, but Mikey dodges and he flies through the table. Just an insane looking spot.
Yes.
The fans help Sabu get up and he climbs slowly back to ringside as he's favoring his lower back and his ass. Mikey drags Sabu back in for two. Mikey, it's a half German, but Sabu can't help much. Just clearly fucked up at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he broke his hip or something. Mikey goes up top. It's a senton splash for two. Sabu dodges a slingshot senton and then gingerly gets to the middle rope. Mikey stops him and goes up and bulldogs him down as Sabu quickly scampers to the corner in pain. Mikey grabs a chair, pastes Sabu in the head, and then goes for a second one, but Sabu ducks and Mikey just drops it and punches him instead. Mikey sets up the chair, puts Sabu on the top, but Sabu blocks it with elbows, hops down, and cracks Mikey with the chair to the head. Sabu hobbles and springboards off the chair, hits a top rope hurricanrana for the win. Sabu then shakes Mikey's hand, and Joey says Mikey is a man. I have no clue how Sabu pulled this off. It was fun and wild. Some crazy spots. Both guys look great. Sabu's so fucked up. I mean, really, like, he really fucked himself up. You could tell he could barely fucking walk in the back end of that match. Mikey's come so far, so far. Continue to make himself a star. This felt heavy and dramatic, not hectic and chaotic. And I thought it was really good, Jenny. It went 3.25 stars. It was a lot of fun. It continues to elevate Mikey, and Sabu's just legend grows. It's just a madman.
You said 3.25?
Yeah. Feel the love for you?
Yeah, it's 4 stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to bump it to 3.5 just right now on the fly. I think I was a little low.
Yeah, this is like fully grown up Mikey. Like, he is in control. Like, and this is Sabu. This is like, we're not fucking around with Kane over here, you know? And Joey, at one point, Joey wonders who's crazier, Mikey or Sabu. It's Mikey. It is. And I believe that, even as insane as Sabu is, that Mikey has come this far, and he will not die. He cannot, like, no matter what, Mikey is doing everything he can in this match. When he shoved Sabu off the top rope into that table, I died. That was amazing. He just picks up like these, he just does like these little things that just really work for him. And when he moved and sent Sabu into that table, I was like, okay, he's not fucking around. Like, it's just Mikey being great against somebody great. And I feel like this is incredible stuff. And I don't know how Sabu took that hurricanrana off the top after he broke his ass on that table. He's a warrior. He's marked up. Like, his whole body is scars, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it does not get more legit than Sabu. And Mikey just had a war with him. I love this match. It is 4 stars, Matt.
So I knew we were going to be in for something really good when 45 seconds into the match, Sabu kills Mikey with a top rope guillotine leg drop. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of set the stage for this match, and it just kept fucking going and going. There was another spot where Mikey was in the ring, and Sabu goes to the outside, and he throws a chair, and the chair just hits Mikey right in the face.
Oh, right in the face, yes.
He doesn't even care. The triple jump moonsault by Sabu, he hit that flush. Sabu was on fire during this match. He was hitting just about everything on point, which, I mean, you expect some level of sloppiness with Sabu, but I feel like in this match, 90% of everything he was nailing. That dive to the outside was absolutely bananas. Sabu absolutely fucked himself up royally. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he was able to hit the triple jump hurricanrana to win the match. I don't know if the adrenaline just kicked in or if he lost all feeling and didn't give a shit. I don't know how he was able to pull it off. This was absolutely fantastic and kind of a match you really don't hear about, talked about as like one of the better ECW matches. Like, I've never heard this match mentioned anywhere, and so it kind of came out of nowhere for me. I flirted with 4 stars, but I ended up with 3.75 on this.
I mean, like, when you think of Mikey Whipwreck, unless you're watching all this, I think you did think of, like, he was in ECW for a while and, you know, was the underdog and did the stuff with Foley. But if you stack rank, like, if we went through and just, like, kind of looked at match grades and stuff, like, Mikey surprisingly is probably up there pretty high with overall, like, match grades. Like, he has had some really good fucking stuff that you just never think about or hear about. Like, you always think of the angle stuff more with him, but he's had some damn good matches throughout this stretch, and he just keeps delivering every time he's out there. So I mean, he's really grown as a wrestler,
right? He i mean we don't really have much of an angle on him right now, honestly.
No, he's like, just like a worker guy.
Yeah, he's just in there, like, putting on these fucking awesome matches. And, like, I was thinking that you guys were going to tell me that this was a famous match. Because usually I can kind of feel it, you know, when I'm watching it. And then you guys will usually confirm, like, yeah, this is, like, considered a really good match. And I'm like, surely this is on the list. But if it's not, it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm with Matt. Like, I don't think I've really seen this pop up on any comp DVDs or anything, or one you ever really hear about. But yeah, no, it was really, really good, for sure. It was great. Main event time is Sandman and Too Cold Scorpio take on the Headhunters and the Gangstas. Sandman and Missy Hyatt saunter out, followed by Scorp. We haven't seen him in a little bit.
No.
Joey calls Missy a walking riot, and she is very into this gimmick. All sorts of sexual PDA during the never-ending entrance that they have. Joey says
it's like an hour and a half.
Forever. Joey says this is originally a three-way dance, but the Gangstas were arrested, so now it's just a straight tag. Sandman has really gotten super over, by the way, as well for all this. And I love his part. I love how he's friends with Scorpio because it's such an unlikely partnership, but they've been buddies for a while now. And it just works. Missy dances with Sandman and Scorpio and says that pretty much that they've gone insane since Missy's joined. And Scorpio looks like he's slimmed down a little bit, maybe, too. And he tells the sound guy not to fuck up his music again. Scorpio makes Joe Gertner call him a slim, trim, ripped, and chiseled, but Joey mocks that. out come Damian Kane, and the crowd immediately starts chanting, "Show your tits for Lady Alexandra." The Headhunters are with them. This feels like a trashy biker bar crew for sure.
Yeah, it does.
They come out.
Love it.
The bell rings. We're on all four, brawl in the ring. Scorpio lands a nice hard kick to the face to one of the Headhunters as the other one pays Sandman with a chair outside. All four end up out there now as the Sandman gets choked to the chair, and the other Headhunter busts the rail. They start trading chair and cane shots near the railing as Missy tries to avoid the carnage. Scorpio busts out an insane moonsault off the apron into the second row and is feeling himself after it. Just comes up all glowing. amazing spot. Headhunter's power slam. One of the Headhunter's power slams Sandman in the ring. Sandman battles back and tries to go up top, and he keeps stumbling before he regains himself and hits a leg drop. Kane and Lady Alexandra come in, and Sandman lights him up with a cane. Lady Alexandra jumps Sandman, but Missy comes in. We get a cat fight. Security pulls them apart. Damian beats up security because they touched Lady Alexandra. You know, I thought he was supposed to be into it. Headhunter power bombs Sandman and puts him on a table as the other one hits a top rope moonsault, but the table doesn't break somehow.
Oh,
I don't know how. Fucking behemoth flying through the
They forgot to gimmick it.
My lord. It shouldn't have to be. This guy's like 400 pounds. I don't know. Top rope. The other Headhunter hits a top rope splash on Scorpio, but out come the Gangstas to break it up. They both have their handcuffs on, but they choke the Headhunters with them. Joey says maybe they stole the police car, which would be impressive if anyone could steal a production van. The Eliminators show up now with chairs. They start destroying the Gangstas. The Headhunters and Kane walk out since the title's on the line, so they're like, fuck it. We end up with the Eliminators and Sandman and Scorpio staring down, but the champs just leave instead of engaging. Scorpio covers New Jack, but he rolls his shoulder up and flips the bird as he does it. Sandman cracks him with a cane, and New Jack rolls outside. Scorpio slides out and dumps Mustafa to the crowd. They brawl to the back of the arena while Sandman beats on Jack at ringside. All four keep brawling as Mustafa busts out the merch table with Scorpio. In the ring, Sandman hits a slingshot leg drop onto New Jack. Scorpio, Mustafa, and the chair shots are flying. Sandman is a mess. He's staggering around in a complete fog. Scorpio bulldogs New Jack onto an open chair as Mustafa pummels Sandman on the floor. Back inside, Mustafa hits a neck breaker on Scorpio. Jack goes up top. Mustafa destroys Sandman with a chair. The Gangstas hit a double team back suplex through a chair on Scorpio. Mustafa hoists up Scorpio, power slams him, and New Jack hits a chair elbow off the top to finish and win the match. Another good brawl, even with the starts and stops. Although all night we had a lot of this, so it felt kind of played out by this point.
Yep.
It was a lot of crowd fighting, a lot of chairs through the crowd. The Gangstas coming back was really cool. And, you know, they're really climbing to be stars. Like, this is a big win to beat Scorpio and Sandman in the main event of the show. Scorpio's dive to the crowd was the highlight to me. That was awesome. But it was pretty baseline stuff to me. I went 2.5. The crowd was into it, Matt. But it was – you'll see. We've had a lot of these matches so far. Like, usually a lot of – it was kind of a public enemy thing. But just the walking around brawling, if it doesn't have that extra dimension like we had earlier with the Lee match, it tends – to just fall a little flat to me when it's just kind of the same old, same old.
Yeah, I went 2.5 on it for a lot of the same reasons, honestly. I think the fact that there was a match like 45 minutes before this one that was very similar to this, it kind of took me out a little bit. Like, in a vacuum, this is still probably a solid Raw, but I don't think it hits as hard when you've seen a match that's pretty much identical to this earlier in the show. Like, it was still good, and I liked a lot of the stuff in it, but... You know, some of the stuff we saw in the earlier brawl like this, I thought was a lot better, like the stuff onto Queens Boulevard and stuff like that. But it was, you know, still perfectly solid. There was one spot where the guardrail actually broke as one of the headhunters was thrown into yes. it. Like, it literally snapped like a twig. Like, so he could break a guardrail, but he can't break a table. So that's apparently what we're doing here.
Let's get the physics explanation on that one.
Yeah, I don't know how that table didn't break. Gravity failed ECW on that night. Like, I don't know. The science doesn't make sense there. But it was a good match. It's a big win for the gangsters. I will always mark for a gangsters win. So 2.5 for me for the main event.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys on 2.5. So... How does the Missy entrance compare to, say, like a woman entrance for you? I mean, they're both lengthy, but right. this mm-hmm. is a lot more raunchy and dirty.
Yeah, the woman one was like more intimidating.
Yeah.
It felt like you just really didn't want to fuck with her. Like, she was kind of staring daggers the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it felt sexy, whereas this was like sexual. Like, this was
right.
This is like Cinemax, you know, like basically, like he's basically. They're basically fucking out of the way of the ring. Like, that's yeah. that's
So, which do we like better?
I think it's hard to say because the woman one helped Sandman get to where he get. Like, mm-hmm. he couldn't have just gone to Missy. Like, he needed to evolve through the woman one. Mm-hmm. But I think I actually prefer the Missy one just because of how fucking trashy it is. And it just fits Sandman. Like, it just fits him better.
That's how
but he needed to go mm-hmm. through woman to get to this point.
Right.
It's like peak Sandman sleaziness, basically.
And she eats it up too. Totally. And in a way that woman was always, like you said, aloof and kind of above all this shit. She engages with it and really enjoys it, and I think that elevates it too.
Right.
And she looks the part. I mean, she's like insane. she's her Budweiser bra or bathing suit or whatever that is. I don't know, but That being said, I will say I thought Lady A looked a lot hotter than
yeah,
Missy.
Yeah, than Missy?
Yeah. Maybe it's just my personal style, but, like, basically her whole outfit was see-through. It was mm-hmm. just, like, black mesh. She looked stunning. I thought she was awesome. And then she actually got some stuff to do in this match, which is kind of abnormal for her. I'd like to see more of her, if I'm being honest. When her and Missy tie up during the match is pretty hot. So hopefully we get more of that going forward. You know, it was brutal. The cane shots, all the chair shots. Like, this should be like chair massacre on Queens Boulevard because there's so many chairs were destroyed and used during this. And, you know, like you said, it gets kind of repetitive by this point in the night. But I think that Sandman and Scorpio bring a little bit something different, you know, especially Scorpio because he has that insane moonsault, which was, he never got any better. Like you said, that's the pinnacle of the match. Like, that was awesome. And I'm glad to see him, but I feel like he should maybe get another one of those spots in. I don't know. It was missing a little something for me. Until the gangsters run in, still handcuffed. Did not see that coming. That was great. Really loved that. New Jack almost gets pinned, but then he gets the shoulder up and then just sticks up a finger like to flip off everybody. Never seen anybody do that before. That was amazing. I really popped for that. It is probably the correct way to end the show. Even with the sort of repetitive crowd stuff, but fun brawl for 2.5 stars.
And that'll do it for our show. Interesting one. And what I like about ECW 2 is they're never afraid to shake up the card. Like,
yeah.
And I think because they know they're so hot as a promotion and everyone on the roster is so over that they're not afraid to like mix up the main events and do this random tag like this to close the show and put Raven against some random challenger in the middle of the card. And I think they have complete confidence in what they're delivering as a product that they're not afraid to do stuff like this. So it was really, really good. And that'll close things out. All right, best match of the night for our awards to kick those off. Obviously, I think we're all in agreement with Mikey Whipwreck and Sabu.
We are.
100%.
Worst match is Hack Myers. Versus,
worst Myers. Hack.
Bad boy Billy Black.
No, it's definitely not. I have the Eliminators versus Hartgood and LPR.
Oh, that's a crime.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I have Hack Myers for real.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Myers Black.
All right, best moment. I went with Taz's entrance and the shoot fight post-match, all that stuff.
I went with Sabu breaking his ass.
Yeah, Sabu's ass breaking.
Most 90s, Billy Black, Stevie Richards' racist promo, and Shane Douglas's shooting on WWF Stars.
I went with Shane Douglas and Stevie Richards' racist promo.
I went with Missy's Budweiser brawl.
Mm.
That feels 90s to me.
All right, Stock Rising, the Dudleys, the Eliminators, Chris Jericho, Team Taz, and Sabu.
I would add Mikey. Shane?
Yep.
Shane Axel?
Yeah, Shane, I could see.
What about Axel?
Maybe in your world.
Okay.
Little Guido.
I'll take it.
Yes, Little Guido. Stock falling out with poor Pee Wee Moore, who just took a shit kicking. Billy Black, Hartgood, and Blue Meanie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could maybe add the headhunters on there too for breaking a guardrail and not breaking a table.
And then just walking off during a beta
and then
match.
Leaving the match.
Whatever, they got their shit in.
Yeah.
This ain't about them.
All right, final grade. I mean. ECW's baseline to me is very high. This is an easy watch. It's a lot of fun. You have a near classic with Sabu and Mikey. A lot of good chaos, some angle progression. It's a good show. I went 7 out of 10.
So it is a good show, but it had like a weird vibe, and I think you hit on it earlier. It's the card mixing, not confusing, but just surprising. So this whole show had me off guard. Had me caught off guard, which is not bad. I mean, I've been watching. It's good to feel this way even after a break from all the watching. Like, because I've been watching this stuff for years now, and you get to where you see the patterns, and obviously you kind of get a feel for what's going to happen during the show. I never knew. I never knew who was wrestling who and what the fuck was going to happen. But in a pleasant way, I will say. So I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it felt to me like an ECW house show, like a B show, like not one of their big shows. But it was a really good one of those. Like, I mean, you know, all kinds of good star ratings all over this show for me. So I also went 7 out of 10 for this fun show.
All right, so that'll do it. Listen, check out everything we have to offer at the North-South Connection. Stuff drops almost each and every day, whether it's around the world of wrestling, and we have a lot of chronological journeys going through those times, whether it's Ruthless Aggressive Era, WWE, whether it's TNA, from the start, NWA TNA, whether it's this show here, Wrestling Warzone, every other Thursday with me and Chad going through the Monday Night Wars. Also, some of our new Chronoso projects, looking at WCW. Pay-per-views and the PG era of WWE, plus No Holds Barred, list-based stuff. We have podcasts about comics, about movies, about Beverly Hills 90210. We have it all for you. Subscribe, leave us some feedback, leave us a star rating. That stuff goes a long way in getting additional listeners, and we always appreciate it. I'm at Twitter, JT the Pod Guy, and you can get most updates about the feed from me there. Matt, anything you want to plug?
Highway to the Impact Zone on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. I'm on every other episode of that. You can check me out there. And my show over on the PTB Pop Experience feed, Piece of the Action, and Action Movie Live Watch podcast. Check all that out. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at MSUSA1991.
Jenny?
I have a podcast feed. It's called The Jenny Position. You can get in The Jenny Position and watch cool shows like Talk Pop and The Journey Through Infinity and whatever else I make over there. You can find some more of my wrestling content on the Place to Be Wrestling feed. My shows are PTB NXT over there and Talkin' WCW. I am also on other stuff here on North South Connection on that WCW Cronoso. We talked about Starrcade 83, a show that no one has ever reviewed in the history of review shows. So listen to that. It was really fun. Fun co-hosts on that one, too. Just like my co-host at TNA Never Dies. So listen to that, too. You can find me on Twitter at Jenny Position.
Okay, we're out. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Everyone, stay extreme.
Sweet, sweet city woman. I can see your face. I can hear your voice. I can almost touch you. Sweet, sweet city woman. On the banjo and me, we got a beautiful scene. Sweet city.